for titles, for title writers, note takers, I titled this Joseph, Just, Loving, and Obedient. I think often about how God works with me and works with men in general and women by extension. I wonder personally if I listen, if I'm hearing what he's trying to say to me. I wonder if I'm becoming what he wants me to become and if I'm doing what he wants me to do. I'm probably much like you, experiencing life's ups and downs, making my share of mistakes, but by and large doing my best to live an upright life. In that sense, and in the context of the body of Christ, I'm pretty much a common man. Now, not that I'm comparing myself with this man, Joseph, but I would like to share a brief look at another common man, a man who was given a job to do, an important job, yet he was not anything special in terms of his station in life, his job, or his place in the community. He was, in that sense, a common man who was ready when faced with a responsibility he never expected, let alone sought out. So let's take a look at a few things the Bible has to say about this person and see what we can learn. Now, before I fully get started here in my first segment, you're probably not thinking about the Joseph that I'm thinking of. I'm not talking about the Joseph who became, you know, third in command or second in Egypt. I'm talking about Joseph, Jesus Christ's stepfather, surrogate father, however you want to think about him. I like to talk about his life, what little bit is talked about in the Bible. And I have to say, I didn't look super hard, but I did look a little bit. I wanted to see if I could find out what other people might have said in a message about Joseph. And honestly, I did not find a single message about Joseph, the father of Jesus Christ, at least the human father. So let's just talk a little bit about Joseph, and let's see if we can learn something from what little snippets we see about him in our Bible. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read through verses 18 through 25, because this is where it starts in terms of kind of hearing something about Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, I titled this little section in my notes, Gut Punched, because here was Joseph. He was betrothed, which was essentially at that time the same as being married in terms of the demands and the obligations of fidelity and so forth. So before they actually had had the, I don't know if they'd had the ceremony, but certainly before they'd consummated the marriage, he found out his bride was pregnant. Now that's a gut punch by any definition. He didn't expect that. I can only imagine how that must have felt. And interestingly then, as we read through this, we're going to learn a little bit about what kind of a man he was by how what he did next upon finding out this news. So I'll continue. I'm going to reread this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So he had every right to divorce her, but he had resolved in his mind already that he was going to do it quietly, to put her through the least amount of embarrassment that he could. And it says in verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And that that prophet saying, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then in verse 24, it says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife." The angel said, "Yes, she is pregnant, but this is from God, and you should marry her." And he did. It's in verse 25, it says, "But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So there's one little peek we saw at Joseph's life. He had a massive shock that I'm sure shook him to his core. He was, I can't imagine the relief that he got when the angel of the Lord told him, "It's okay. She hasn't cheated on you. She hasn't betrayed you, broken your trust. It's going to be okay. Marry her." So he did. That's the first story. The next thing about Joseph that we can read is in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll just look at verses 13 through 15. But he was ordered to get out of town. So in verse 13, it says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt.'" And by the way, when they had departed is referring to what we call the wise men, right? The magi who had come to see Christ. "When they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to Egypt.'" So he's ordered to get out of town and remain there until told it's okay to come back, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Verse 14 says, "And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" So there's the second sort of little story we hear about Joseph, that he was ordered to get out of town, and he did it. He did what he was told to do. You think about either of these first two stories that I told, it might have been real easy for him to say, "Well, you know, she's going to have a baby, and I really have to marry her. I mean, this is not even going to be my child." And he could have balked, right? He could have said, "I don't really want to marry her now." Or when he was ordered to get out of town, he could have said, "You know, this is God. You can handle this. Why do I need to leave town? Let's do it my way. Let's stay. This is comfortable," right? But he didn't. He just was obedient. He did what he was told to do, and he did it by night. He did it quickly. Now, the third and final thing is that I've titled my section, he had a godly household with concerned parents. A godly household with concerned parents. And we'll look at Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 48 here. And it reads this way, Luke 2, verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents," you'll see he is called one of Jesus' parents, "his parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But when they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him." Now, I can't, again, you think about this. When you who've had children, which is, you know, the majority, you think about when your kid, little kid, disappeared for even a few minutes, how absolutely horrifying that was. They were in the backyard or something, and you had to run around, and you didn't know where they were, how horrifying that was. And we're going to see some of that same kind of concern here. Here it lasted for 3 days. I remember going to the state fair. Remember, you've been to the state fair, and if you ever went with your little kids, you remember how you, at least I thought this, like, what if you could easily lose your kids in that huge mass of people? And I remember just thinking how absolutely horrifying that would be. Well, anyway, just to set your mind to what kind of concern those parents were going through when Jesus ended up not being with the group, and they had to go back. And it says that they were searching for him. And in verse 46, it says, after 3 days, they found him. Now, he was fine, as you know. They found him sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. But that's not my point to sort of talk about that. I want to point out that here that he was part of a he provided for Christ a godly home where they did what God commanded annually for the feasts and festivals, and that he had loving parents who cared for him and were very concerned for him. And we'll see this in the final sentence here that I read in verse 48. So continuing, we just read verse 46. Verse 47, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. But verse 48 says, and when his parents, both of them, saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And I can imagine it was in great distress. So those are the three stories that I'm going to just kind of go. And that's pretty much all we hear. I mean, we can see other spots in the Bible where Christ... father, where Joseph is referred to as being his father. We can see other spots where that's just sort of referenced, right? Joseph's son. But that's what I want to, that's really all we know about Joseph in terms of little anecdotes, little stories. So what can we get from that? Well, the first thing, I have three things, and it's in the title, right? Joseph, just, loving, and obedient. So the first one is just. And we can see in Matthew, in that first passage I read, in, make sure I'm getting the right scripture. I want to find the exact spot, and I didn't write it down. Here it is. In verse 19 in Matthew 1, we see that it says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man. He was a just man. Okay? He was a man of integrity. He wanted to do the right thing. And instead of considering only his right to divorce Mary, he considered her, realized that what was apparently at the beginning unfaithfulness, rather than considering only his right to divorce her, his potentially visceral reaction to that, he thought this, and this is, again, a direct quote. It says, he was unwilling to put her to shame and resolved to divorce her quietly. He was a just man. And very much related to that, he was a loving man. Because you couldn't have he couldn't have thought so much about her and what would be the impact to her if he treated her, according to how it, at least at the time, appeared like she deserved to be treated. He had to be loving. He had to have that sort of agape love that says, regardless of how I feel, the actions that I take should be something that ultimately has a positive impact on the other person. He had that kind of love. He had that kind of love. So that's sort of the second lesson we can take from Joseph. As a husband, he displayed the deepest kind of love in his concern for what impact his actions might have on Mary. Now, of course, it never came to that, because the angel of the Lord came and told him, hey, it's okay, it's not what you think. But he still, before it came to that, he displayed some considerable love towards her. And he also displayed his love in that he was as a parent. And we just read how it said, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Again, you can imagine if you've been a parent, or even maybe you're an uncle or an aunt, and you were charged with watching somebody and they got out of your sight and you had to worry just for a second. It's absolutely something to cause, panic. And finally, he was obedient. He took his wife when he was told that he would take Mary to wife, and that he didn't need to worry about something untoward having happened. He took her. He did what he was told to do. He arose and he took the child and his mother by night to Egypt. We went through that, and he was also obedient in doing what God said in terms of being faithful to keeping God's annual feast days and doing as he was told. So those are three lessons from Joseph, that he was just, that he was loving, that he was obedient. And in that sense, he was a common man, kind of like me, right? Like, I'm nothing special. Maybe, you know, something came up for him. He didn't plan to be the parent, right, of Jesus the Christ. He didn't plan for that. And it came up. And because his life, and, you know, there were probably reasons why God picked him. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus Christ, and as we've read, he was referred to as such in Luke. And in several other places, like I mentioned, Jesus is referenced to as the son of Joseph. We know very little about who Joseph was as a person, but the mere fact that he was chosen for the job of raising Christ as his own son and being a father to him is telling about who he must have been as a person. The Bible indicates that he was a carpenter, although the Greek word for carpenter could also mean a stonemason or a metallurgist, if I said that right. In any case, he was, based on what little bit we know about him, a common man of his day in his society. He didn't have some high station. He was just living God's way. As a common man, he displayed the godly characteristics of being just, being loving, and being obedient. And I think that we all would do well to emulate these characteristics, which in our world today are all too far too uncommon.